This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Right now, I want to hop on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Head out to, I'm guessing, sunny Phoenix, Arizona, where my guy Chris Fedor, the outstanding Cavaliers beat writer for Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer, joins us with the wine and gold on a three-game losing streak. Chris, how's the tan?
I don't tan. I usually just burn because I'm so pasty white to begin with. But the sunshine... I'll say the sunshine feels really, really nice against my face.
Did you get in 18?
No, I did not bring the sticks on this trip because it was so ridiculous and it is so long. It's five cities in 10 days, and yeah. I already have a full checked bag, which is over the allotment weight, and I have a carry-on as well. Because every time we go to Portland, I try and get into the Nike employee store, and I end up coming home with like three or four pairs of shoes or something like that.
Oh, goodness.
And I need as much space as possible. So two checked bags and a carry-on probably would have been a little bit obnoxious even by my standards.
Goodness. Yeah, I can see you doing a boatload of damage in that bad boy. I know you well enough to know that.
Last year, I walked in there, and I was just shopping, and I was having a good time. And then all of a sudden, the Cavs stroll in, and a couple of the guys saw me, and they're like, Jesus, we cannot escape you. And I see Tristan Thompson, and he's got like $30,000 worth of stuff in his shopping cart. And I said, what are you doing with all this? He was like, oh, presents for the kids, stuff for myself. Oh, yeah, we do some damage every time we come here. So it's kind of the thing to do when you go visit Portland.
Hide the credit cards, right?
Oh, my God, as much as possible. And it's tough, too, because, you know, my wife has the credit card notification set up on her phone.
Uh-oh.
And I do, too, obviously, because you want to make sure that nothing pops up that is a little bit sketchy. So to protect both of us, we both do that. And last year, she got the notification on her phone, and I got a call immediately, and I said, hey, like, look, I'm only out here once a year. It's very, very hard to get into this store. You have to use as many connections as possible to get into this store. So I sold it as best I could, and, like, I don't know what else I bargained with, but, you know, I did everything that I had to do to make sure that I came home with multiple pairs of shoes.
A deal was made.
The things that they have in that store, like, you can't just go to any other Nike store and get these things.
Right.
A deal was made. Regrets are few. That's all you need to know. Deal was made. Regrets are few. We could deal with the ramifications later. All right, buddy. Three-game losing streak. Haven't seen one of these in a hot minute. Any level of concern out of you in a three-game losing streak for the Cavs?
I don't know that I would go as far as to say concern, guys, because I think if you have concerns, it's based on what you think is broken, what you think isn't fixable. And I haven't seen anything from the Cavs from that standpoint. I think some of this is partially regression, Like, look, this is the best clutch team in the entire NBA. They have the best net rating in the clutch, even after three straight failures in clutch situations, all three of these losses, Orlando, Los Angeles, Sacramento. It was the Cavs coming up short in clutch situations. Despite those three slip-ups, they're still outscoring teams by like 30 points per 100 possessions in clutch situations. It just goes to show how dominant they were in those situations throughout the course of this regular season. So I don't think all of a sudden what they do in late game situations is broken, right? I don't think Kenny Atkinson became stupid when it came to his late game decision making and some of the sets that they're running. I think sometimes you execute late and sometimes you don't, or sometimes a team executes better than you in late game situations. The thing that I will say is that there are two areas that I think are worth monitoring that have showed up during this three-game losing streak. One is their defense. You know, their defense has kind of been up and down throughout the course of the year, guys. You know, they had stretches where even they had conversations about it and said, hey, our defensive rating is not up to our own standards, because they had fallen out of the top 10 at one point in defensive rating. And they said, look, we've got to get back to being a top 10 defense. And they did. But, you know, during this stretch, during this month, they've shown some slippage on the defensive end of the floor. And that's something that they have to correct. They have to show that they once again can be a top 10, top 5 defense consistently. The other thing to watch here is that teams are fine attacking Evan Mobley and Jared Allen after switches. The Cavs have turned into a defense that wants to switch things. Kenny Atkinson believes that it's very, very favorable to them based on their personnel. He also believes it's something that you have to do in playoff environments. But watch how teams call out actions to bring in Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. And that's very, very strange, but it pulls them away from the basket. It makes it so that they can't erase mistakes. It makes it so that they can't anchor the paint. It makes it so that they can't protect the rim. And those guys are getting beat off the dribble in one-on-one situations. If you look at the late-game execution from Sacramento the other night, it was entirely DeMar DeRozan calling for a screen, putting Evan Mobley in the action, and being totally okay attacking Evan Mobley off the dribble. And I think teams are going to consistently try and do that because, one, they feel like it can be advantageous to use their foot speed and their quickness to beat those guys off the dribble. But, two, like if they're in a situation where only one of the bigs is on the floor, it pulls that guy away from the basket, and the rim protection that the Cavs usually have just doesn't exist in the same way. So the Cavs are going to have to find a counter for that kind of strategy.
Chris, I don't want to say the Cavs are bored with winning because I don't think that that's fair or accurate. But is there an element, though, here where, because I read what you wrote with what Donovan had to say the other night about, he had a little bit of a positive spin. You know, hey, it's good to be, and I'm paraphrasing here, it's good to be able to pick some things apart and, you know, have some things to work on. How much of this do you feel like is, you know, Kenny maybe working on some things, and also this team finding some things to work on as they go down the stretch and prepare themselves for the playoffs?
I'll put it this way, guys. I don't think the Cavs are at a point where their sole purpose down the stretch of the season with some of these games is to win them. That doesn't mean that they don't want to win them, but there are other things that are important for them as they go through this. And if their sole purpose was just to chase wins or chase records, they wouldn't have these rest nights with some of their guys. If their sole purpose was to win these games, then Kenny Atkinson wouldn't be experimenting with certain lineups, some of which don't make sense, but he has to learn those things, because sometimes when it comes to what works and what doesn't work, you have to see it fail first to understand that it doesn't work. You have to put it in a meaningful game situation to see what the outcome is going to be. So I think that's the point that the Cavs are at right now. They're not chasing wins. They're not chasing a seed. They're not chasing home court advantage throughout the course of the NBA playoffs. It's what they think is best for them. And yeah, that means Kenny Atkinson doing some different things with lineups and combinations and end of game situations to get answers that he thinks are going to be important when it comes to the playoffs. And some of those things are going to work and some of them aren't. And it also means that they're going to rest guys as we continue to finish out this regular season, because they think that's going to be best for them, be in the best physical and mental condition that they can possibly be in. So it's not a situation where they're bored or where they're not caring about trying to win these games. It's just it's not the sole purpose for them, because there are things that they have to figure out. There are questions that they have to answer. And the only way that they can do that is through trial and error. See what works, see what doesn't work. And if it doesn't work, then you collect that data, you collect that information, and you scrap it going into the playoffs.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, and Napoleon Dealer joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. It's interesting you bring that up, Chris, because I've always compared it to the great Bill Belichick quote of, we like to go in and make you have to play left-handed. And it feels like the Cavs are purposely saying, okay, let's play left-handed and let's see if we can find other ways to win these games instead of just Donovan Mitchell, high screen and roll, Evan Mobley setting the screen, maybe a little bit of motion off of that. Can we find other ways to find this? Is that about what you're saying there? Just like, hey, we're going to try to purposely play left-handed to see if we could stumble into something?
Well, I think those are the things that, you know, they need when you talk about a playoff environment, when you talk about a seven-game series against whoever it may be. Because the playoffs, it will require you to play different styles. It'll require you to attack defenses a different kind of way. It'll require you to use different kind of defensive tactics. Sometimes it might be box and one. Sometimes it might be 2-3 zone. Sometimes it might be 3-2 zone. Sometimes it might be switch man-to-man. And I think you're just trying those different things throughout the course of this stretch to, again, see what works, see what doesn't work, see what personnel works best in those situations, what personnel doesn't work best in those situations. Is DeAndre Hunter better suited to be a four-man or a three-man? Those are things that Kenny Atkinson is still working through. Late-game situations, they've had a package throughout the course of this regular season, but now, like, can we add a little bit to those late game situations? How do we best use DeAndre Hunter in those situations? How do we best use Evan Mobley in those situations? Yeah, I mean, I think they're still trying to work through some of those things and try and figure those things out and seeing, okay, end of game situation, if a team is going to take away the pick and roll, something that we do really, really well, what are the actions that we can run within that particular set? Where is the spacing that we need within that particular set? So all of these different things, it's a constant curiosity and it's a constant experiment for Kenny Atkinson and for the Cavs to be at their best when the playoffs roll around, because they understand they can't be predictable on offense. They can't be predictable on defense. They also understand that different matchups against different teams are going to call for them to use different lineups and use different sets and use different play calls. And they want to have the best possible grasp on being able to do all of that during the regular season, so that when it comes time and the playoffs roll around, it's not something that they're doing on the fly.
Hey, Chris, Donovan and Darius, the shooting percentages are down a little bit. I don't want to say I don't want to insinuate anything's wrong, but I do want to ask. Is there something there with that? Where are those two guys at right now? Because with the way this season's going, we're not used to watching either one of them miss shots.
Guys, they got to be better. That's the thing. I mean, the Cavs ceiling on the offensive end of the floor, in large part, is tied to those two guys being great and dynamic and those two guys being great and dynamic together. And you're seeing that there has been slippage. There's no doubt about it from an efficiency standpoint from both Darius and Donovan. I mean, I think it's two times since the All-Star break, too, that Darius has shot better than 45% from the field. That's not good enough. You know, he's got to be better. And Donovan you know, his three-point percentage in March is not up to his standard. Now, I guess you can kind of say that he's still dealing with a groin issue, and that's probably playing some part of it. But if it was that much of a deal, would he have played the back-to-back? No, he wouldn't have. So I just think it's the situation where both those guys have to be better. And I've talked to a lot of different people, coaches, scouts around the NBA, as many people as I can to try and figure out what they see from both those guys, what they think may be going wrong or not going as well as it did at the beginning of the season. And they don't think the shot quality has changed all that much. They don't think that, you know, Donovan's unable to get to his spots because he's not as explosive, because he doesn't have that same get-off that he had at the beginning of the season. It's interesting because if you think back to last year when Donovan was kind of dragging his knee at the end of the season, his shot profile changed, and he wasn't able to get to the rim as much because he couldn't beat guys off the dribble. He didn't have that explosiveness. He didn't have that same strength and that power getting to the basket. You're not seeing that same evidence of him down the stretch here. Like, he's still getting to the rim. He's still dunking. He's still finishing at the rim. He's still getting into the paint. He's still getting to his spots. So it shows me that some of this is probably a little bit of regression from both of those guys. But in saying that, I think it's something that we have to continue to monitor down the stretch to see if the kind of shots that these guys are getting within the flow of the offense are similar to what they got at the beginning of the season. And if the shot profile starts to change significantly the way that it did with Donovan down the stretch last year, then you have an idea that something bigger is going on. I don't think we're seeing that. I just think these guys are in a mini funk and it's happening at the same time.
Well, hopefully the Cavaliers can get out of that mini funk tonight in Phoenix against the Suns. Chris, enjoy the Arizona Sun. FedEx the shoes next time. I think that might help you in the luggage situation.
Oh, see, now you're going to get the man divorced. Chris, don't get divorced.
Right?
Don't get divorced because of the post office, all right? Find a better reason.
Well, you know, maybe have it wrapped in Amazon packaging, and that'll, you know, she'll think she ordered them for herself, right?
I will say this. Like, I was very forward-thinking when it came to this last long road trip of the season. And for my birthday and for Christmas, I did ask for Nike gift cards so that I could bring all the Nike gift cards with me. And maybe I can get away with it that kind of way. So I don't put it on our credit card, our joint credit card, and I can just use all of the Nike gift cards that I've accumulated over the last year and just splurge while I'm out here.
See, that's 3D chess right there.
See, that's what I'm talking about. You know, Kenny Atkinson is a problem solver. Kenny Atkinson is a forward thinker. So I decided that I'd put my Kenny Atkinson offensive mastermind hat on and do the same thing.
Damn, good on you, buddy. That's good thinking.
Good stuff, Chris. Enjoy the rest of the trip, and we'll see you back in Cleveland when the boys return home.
Sounds good, guys. See you.
There you go.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, and the Plain Dealer. If you missed that, hit up the rewind function on the Odyssey app. Meredith will have the podcast on the website here shortly as well. Great stuff from him. As the Cavaliers are in Phoenix tonight taking on the Suns, they have lost their last three games. Chris talked about some of the slippage that they've had. Both Donovan and Darius have had their shooting struggles in recent weeks. The fact that the defense, especially in the second half of these games, Dan, the defense has not been great down the stretch as well. And, you know, there are some things they got to kind of clean up here as they get ready for the playoffs. But where I feel at times digging real deep to complain about one of the best teams in the NBA at this point.
Right. That's where everybody is right now. Every fan wants to win every single game. And you get a three-game losing streak, and it's the first one in a while, and it causes everybody to stop and go, wait, what's going wrong? What's happening? Why is this breaking? Why is the thing that has been, gosh, almost a metronome this season? You know, you could count on it. It was consistent as it got. I mean, they've rattled off multiple 10-plus game winning streaks this entire year. And so everybody then panics, and it's like you listen to Chris, and he lays it out perfectly, which is like, hey, don't worry about it. While winning, yes, is a priority, don't think for half a second it's not. We're also trying to get ready for the playoffs. We're also playing different lineups to see if we can stumble into something that we can maybe use if, let's say, what we do best gets taken away from us and we have to play left-handed. We all remember the Knicks series of 2 years ago when Tom Thibodeau went, oh, you're going to run high screen and roll. Well, we're going to double that, and good luck. And we watched as that poor Cavs offense just crumbled to nothing because they couldn't play left-handed. Kenny Atkinson is making sure that this team has answers to every question that could be thrown at him with the roster that's in front of them. Don't panic. Don't to go full-blown Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Don't panic.
And look, this is a great spot to be in where you can test some things out. You can, you know, set yourself up because you're not going to be able to play, as Chris talked about, the same way every playoff series. You're going to have to adjust series to series. Heck, you're going to have to adjust game to game in the playoffs. And if the Cavaliers are going to get where we all think they're capable of getting to, they're, number one, going to need to do that. But also, two, you'd rather take the car for a test drive before you get there, and you actually have to do it. You know, I'd like to see a couple of games with DeAndre Hunter in the starting lineup and Max Strus coming off the bench, because that's what you're going to have to do, in my view, against Boston. So let's see what that looks like for a game or two here down the stretch.
Well, but it's also like the Warriors thing with Kevon Looney for years and years, where they would always start with Kevon Looney on the floor, but then the crunch time five was the death lineup, or, you know, the Kevin Durant lineup of just the five horsemen of the apocalypse, whatever you wanted to call it. But they would always start these games with Kevon Looney in the starting lineup, in the same way that the Cavs will start these games with Max Strus, because they just maybe DeAndre Hunter is just more comfortable coming off the bench and he likes that role.
Right.
And that closing five is what hammers it home.
Yeah. Update here from Diana Russini of The Athletic. In case you haven't heard, Aaron Rodgers is visiting the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm praying he is the Trojan horse that destroys that franchise once and for all and burns it to the ground. Diana writes, quote, the plan in Pittsburgh is for Aaron Rodgers to visit with Steelers coaches. Pittsburgh has kept its offer open to the four-time MVP. One source says, quote, it's possible an agreement is reached today, end quote. Again, that from Diana Russini of The Athletic, the latest on Aaron Rodgers, who is taking one of, this used to be a common practice in free agency where players, yes, would, like, you know, travel and visit teams and check out the facility and all that kind of stuff. Well, it's actually news when players show up in free agency to facilities these days. I mean, Russell Wilson came to Berea last week to take a quick look-see, left without an offer from the Browns, but pretty important detail from Russini, who, again, said, quote, it's possible an agreement is reached today, end quote, regarding the potential of the Steelers to add Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback. And oh, please, please, pretty please let that happen.
You'll know, because you'll quietly, if you put your head to the ground, you'll be able to hear a scream, and that will be Arthur Smith knowing that his entire offense is being lit on fire.
Yeah.
That's what you will hear. You will hear a quiet scream.
Well, the one thing that's going to happen, I will tell you this. I mean, if one team can make an Aaron Rodgers thing work, it would be the Steelers, because Mike Tomlin's not about that. Okay? You're not going to hear Mike Tomlin or see Mike Tomlin do half of what Robert Saleh did with the New York Jets when it came to Rodgers and basically rolling out the red carpet and worshiping the ground in which that Rodgers walked on.
Right.
It's not how you build a team. Okay, fine. Yes, great player, four-time MVP, whatever, right? But, like, it's 53 guys on a roster, not
correct.
One. And, you know, and then no secret what happened. Rodgers ended up getting hurt, and their entire season went south in the blink of an eye.
Right.
That's what happens when you build around one guy. Look at the Browns last year, right? Blow out the offense, offensive coordinator, switch out coaching staff, all for Deshaun Watson. Watson's out by week 7, and the season is flushed, right? Mm-hmm. That's why you don't build around one guy. You build a team, which is what Kevin Stefanski did the year before. Mm-hmm. And that's why they were able, by some miracle from heaven, to start five. Well, I'm going to say four. The fifth was a choice they made at the end of the season. They had four quarterbacks that start. Dusted Joe Flacco off a couch, and he played arguably the best five regular season weeks of his career. And I say that realizing he won a Super Bowl MVP with the Baltimore Ravens. But arguably one of the best five-game stretches of Joe Flacco's career, and it got the Browns across the finish line there into the playoffs. And then, of course, he turned into a pumpkin. But we're going to forget about that for a moment, right? But you build a team, and you can overcome things. You can overcome adversity. You can overcome things that are going to pop, which they always do in a regular season. And I've said this. I've bemoaned it. The culture challenges that the Browns have, the leadership challenges that they have. Look, coach can't go out there and run the plays, okay? We can sit here and twist ourselves into pretzels complaining about Kevin Stefanski's play calling, or whatever else you want to complain about when it comes to Stefanski, or the fact that his press conferences might put you to sleep or whatever. Immaterial. Does not matter. Okay? What matters is how the players respond and they execute. That's what it comes down to. Coach can't go out there and do it themselves. So, as I'd like to say, I can't wait to watch this disaster unfold in Pittsburgh if this actually happens. But, yeah, Aaron Rodgers visiting them Steelers. I'm sure we're going to be talking about this for the rest of the day here on The Fan. We're almost out of here. Daryl Ryder, Dan Menigan, we're in for Baskin and Phelps, who have the day off, with you till 2 for the afternoon boys takeover on 92.3 The Fan.